All right, Luke chapter number 1. And I know some of you thinking, preacher, Christmas over. Well, Christmas might be over, but Christ is not over. Amen. And so we want to look at this passage of Scripture, Luke 1 and verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. We'll look at these other verses if the Lord will let us get to them this morning. But let's bow for a moment of prayer and ask you to pray for us and with us as we now pursue to preach the Word of God. Spiritual thing, it requires spiritual power and enablement. Trust you'll pray for us. Father, we come, God, humbly in your presence today. Lord, we realize, dear God, that without you we can do nothing. Lord, I'm keenly aware that if you leave us here alone, God, all these people will ever hear is a man, and all they'll ever see is a man, and their lives will not be changed at all, not be challenged at all. Lord, at the most we would get is just a little information, and that's about it. But dear Lord, if you'll move and power and demonstration, God, if you'll put that special anointing, special unction on us, Lord. Dear God, the people, Lord, their lives will be challenged. Lord, their lives will be changed and hearts be fed. And dear Lord, needs be met. And dear Lord, we also know that if you'll move, dear God, oh, they'll not see a man nor hear a man, but they'll see Jesus. And Lord, they'll hear from the high courts of heaven through the Spirit of God and the Scriptures. Lord, I pray now that you would take us and use us this morning for your glory. Bring to my attention the things, Lord, that I need to address, the things, Lord, that I need to say. And Lord, we'll be careful, God, to give you the glory and the honor and the praise, because you're worthy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. We're preaching, or have been attempting to preach, on the subject, turning exposure into experience. And I know we'd be in a service and then we'd be out of service and snow come and whatnot, but we're still on that. That burden is still on my heart to preach, and we're going to deal with it. And I know there's many, many different Bible examples and passages that we could use for this subject, but seemingly the Lord has landed us into Luke chapter 1 when Mary had been exposed through Gabriel, the angel Gabriel, to been exposed to the plan of God for her life. And I just want to say this very, very simple but yet personal and profound statement. God has a plan for your life. Don't ever forget that. You say, "Preacher, I'm not old enough." You may be young. You say, "I'm not old enough for God to have a plan for my life." If you're old enough to be saved, you're already in the plan of God. You're already in it. Amen? And God has a will for your life. God has a purpose for your life. And I like this. God has no problems communicating that to you. God had a will and a purpose and a plan, and it was big and personal for Mary. He had no problem getting the message to her. He had no problem delivering the message to her. Amen. You know why? Because he had a faithful messenger to work with. He had one that would go and tell exactly what he told him to tell. And I believe God could still relate his word, his purpose, his plan to people today if he had a voice, amen, in America today or in the world today that would tell what God says to tell. Not too many preachers willing to do that. They're not willing to do that. They're interested in telling what the people wants to hear. But you wouldn't go to a doctor that just operated off of that philosophy. You wouldn't dare go a second visit to a doctor that only told you what you wanted to hear. You wouldn't do that. You wouldn't take your car to a mechanic the second time if he only told you what you wanted to hear. Then we want the preacher to be different. We want the preacher to prophesy smooth things. Amen? But anyway, God communicated to Mary the truth and the purpose for her life, and it was big. It was big, amen, and would have far-reaching effects. But I want you to notice that though she was exposed to the purpose and the plan of God, it all comes down to one pivot point, and that is in verse number 38, where he would talk to her. She asked him a question, "How can these things be?" He explained how that God was going to perform and how God was going to carry out this purpose for her life. But it come down to one thing. Come down to a hinge point. Come down to a pivot point in verse 38 where Mary said, "Behold the handmaid of the Lord," and here it is, "Be it unto me according to thy word." What I've been exposed to, I want to experience. That's what she was saying. What you've told me, I permit it. I allow it. I desire it. I want it to happen in me. I want it to happen through me for the glory of God. Oh, what would happen in RBT? What would happen in our church if everyone in it from the pulpit through the pews would say, "God, whatever it is that's your will and purpose and plan for my life, I want it." What difference would that make in our life? Oh, yes. You'll never convince me that the low spiritual life and the low spiritual level of churches today is the will of God. No, I believe that all the deadness, all the defeat, all the division, all that, my friend, it could be added to that list. It all could be boiled down to one thing, and that is a people that have been exposed to the purpose and truth of God for their life. And they said, "No!" They said, "No." Amen. I believe we've seen a little of that on Friday night in the watch night service, the New Year's Eve service. I believe we've seen a little of that. I believe God come through in conviction there early on in the service. And folks, some did business with the Lord. But you could feel it, friend. There was some folks stubborn up with God. There was some folks stubborn with God. There was some folk that would say no to God's wooing and dealing upon their heart. And we've seen that service, my friend, not get to where God wanted it to be, a good service. God met with us and helped us, but I don't believe it got to where God wanted it to be. Amen. God has always been stopped by rebellion. He's always been stopped by resistance. He's always been hindered by those that would say no to God. I want to say, dear friend, as just a point of reminder, the angel did not force Mary. He didn't push her. He didn't coerce her. He didn't twist her arm. He didn't push her in a corner and say, you will, whether you like it or not. No, friend. He presented, he exposed her to the will of God. And my friend, inside her, there was a response that said, be it unto me according to thy word. I want it. And you'll never experience what you're exposed to without your consent. And I'm going to deal with that a little bit later on in the message this morning for the Lord to help us to get there. Now, there's a lot of things that we could say about that, about exposure and experience. And exposure, my friend, is what is taught. Experience is what is caught. Exposure is outward. It's what's around you. Experience is inward. It's what you're in. Amen? Exposure is what's available to you. Experience is what is actual to you. Amen? I like that. But I want us to start dealing with the experience the Lord will help us this morning. I want to deal with, first of all, this morning, what's involved in this experience. What is it that would transmit the exposure into experience? Now, I'm not going to, don't expect me to get done this morning. I've probably got about 13 points, 14 points on this experience. Are you listening? And we're going to just deal with two or three of them this morning, and we'll hook back up tonight if the Lord leads that way. But the first thing that I want to share with you this morning that's necessary for that transaction, number one, I notice about this experience, number one, there is a moral preparation required. There is a moral listen, who was it that God exposed His will to, His purpose to? It was a holy woman, not a sinless woman. Notice that now. Was not a sinless woman, as the Catholicism would teach in the Immaculate Conception, in that when Mary was conceived by her mom and dad, that God shielded her from the stain of sin. No, friend. She was born a sinner just like everybody else. But I want to tell you, early on in Mary's life, she made choices, my friend, to be right with God and to be devout and devoted and to be pure and to be moral and to be clean, so that God, if He were to want to do something with her, He could. Amen. So there must be moral preparation. She was pure. And I noticed that the Bible said that she, there in chapter 1, the Bible tells us in verse 28 that she was highly favored, and blessed art thou among women. There was something special about her, my friend, because of choices that she had made. Amen. There was something special about her. She wasn't just another young lady in town. She wasn't just another young person in town. But there was something about her life and choices that she made and direction she chose to walk in that, my friend, rose her above. Made her stand out to God. I wonder, in our church this morning, of all ages, I wonder, members and visitors, I wonder, what are we doing that makes us stand out to God? You say, preacher, is that possible? Well, the Bible tells us in 1 Samuel that God was looking for a man after His own heart. God sought for a man after His own heart. Well, guess who that was? According to Acts chapter 13, it was David. Little teenage boy David. There was something. He wasn't just another young man. He wasn't just another male. I'll tell you, there was something special about him because of choices that he made, a direction he walked in, people he ran with, and all of that, that, my friend, caused God to look at him. Say, you know what? I can use that boy. I can use him. He's got a heart that's after my heart. Oh, is there any? I'm talking about moral preparation, friend. Moral preparation. I believe this, and I'm not going to labor here long, but I believe this, and this is on my heart to preach. I believe that if the devil can't keep you from getting saved, and that's his ultimate goal if you're lost, he'll give you every reason. He'll put every blockage in your life. He'll put every hypocrite that there is in Tennessee in your life. He'll put them all there. Why? Purpose to keep you lost, so that when you draw your last breath, my friend, you will lift your eyes in the flames of a real eternal hell. But I believe this for every saved person. I believe the devil desires to fill your life with baggage. I believe the devil desires to fill your life with scars. Now, are you listening? You young people better listen to this preacher. And several of the older folk in here today could say amen, preacher, to what I'm about to tell you. The devil will want you to be so attracted to this world and so allured to this world, my friend, and get involved by this world. And don't you ever forget it. You can't get involved with this world. You can't get close to this world without the world putting its fingerprints in your life. Without the world, my friend, and the filth thereof getting on you. Are you listening? And the devil wants to, as a young lady and as a young man, the devil wants to fill your life with baggage and scars and things that, listen, there's people, I guarantee you, that we all are having difficulty of leading to the Lord because of so much baggage in their life. Well, I'd get saved, preacher, but if I get saved, I'm going to have to deal with this. If I get saved, preacher, I'm going to have to deal with the fact that I'm shacked up. Are you listening? There's people like that, I promise you, in Rogersville. They can't get serious about getting saved, and they choose not to get serious about getting saved because they know that if they do, that it's really going to mess some things up. Are you listening? Are you listening, the preacher? The devil wants you to get your life in a mess so that when you get to considering getting saved and living for God, you'll think about all the things you're going to have to deal with, and that'll be a deterrent from you to serve God. Amen. You better believe this, preacher. By the grace of God, he's going to preach against sin. I'm going to preach against immorality. I'm going to preach against immodesty. I'm going to preach against the wrong kind of music. I'm going to preach against the wrong kind of relationships. I'm going to preach against it. I'm going to preach against it as long as I've got air in my lungs and got sense in my brain. I'll tell you, I'm going to preach against it. Why? Because when God gets to dealing with you, God gets to calling you. I don't want you to say, well, God, if I do that, then I'm going to have to quit all of this, and I'm going to have to get rid of this, and I'm going to have to deal with all that. It's better to not have it in your life. There's people today will never reach their full potential of serving God because of junk in their life. Say amen right there. Are you listening? Boy, I wish I'd have gotten saved. I wish I'd have gotten saved when I was 8 or 9 years old, and I could have. I made a profession. I wish I'd have got saved when I was young. Lived for God all through my teenage years. Served God. Made a difference. I wish I'd have done that. But I played the fool, thinking that popularity was the deal. Thinking, you know, getting all you can get and go all you can go and be what all you can be in the world's eyes. That was the thing to live for. And I want to tell you, I attained a lot of high levels of popularity in our school, in our area. But I want to tell you what, it filled my life with baggage. Are you listening? That's right. There was baggage in my life in a relationship when I got saved. I've told you about that. I was engaged to a girl, my friend, that is still not in church yet today. I was engaged to her, and I want to tell you, when I got saved, immediately, boy, God started showing me, you know, hey, that's going to be a hindrance. Are you listening? You better watch it, friend. There's a lot of marriages, one or the other is hindering the other, amen, in their spiritual walk with God. The other won't go, and so they're holding their mate back. I hope there's none like that here this morning, holding your mate back. He can't go, or she can't go into a deeper walk with God because of the fussing and because of the racket and the ruckus and because of the rebellion and some has even verbalized it and said, no, I'm not going with you. We're not going that route. We've seen that happen. We've seen one couple come to this church a few years ago. My friend, never been exposed to a whole lot that you and I are here at this church. And as we preach the Word of God, I want to resound that. As we preach the Word of God, my friend, then one of the in that marriage began to step up and began to you know, desire to go with God and desire to be pleasing to God, but the other did not. And not only did it cause problems, it ultimately ended up in a breakage of that home. Are you listening? You say, well, God did that. No, God didn't do that. God didn't do that. The devil did that. The devil that worked in one of that partner's heart not to surrender, not to dedicate, not to be faithful, that is the problem. Amen. So, well, preacher wouldn't have that problem if they had stayed worldly. A lot of people think that way. That's why they're not pursuing a spiritual life. Well, amen, I better get off that. But there's a moral preparation. You want to experience God's exposure? Give Him something to work with. Give Him something to work on. Give Him something to work in. Don't give Him a trash bag. Are you listening? You wouldn't give that to your children, would you? You wouldn't give a trash bag to your children and say, here, dig through that and see if you can find anything. No. Then, but why do we do that to God? The devil wants us to give God a life that is full of trash and baggage. Are you listening? Now, I'm not saying as a sinner, God will save you just like you are. I don't, no matter what's in your life, what you've done, where you've been, God will save you. I mean, He'll save you. If you'll get willing, if you'll repent of sin, God will save you. If there's faith in your heart, my friend, to believe God will save you. If you ask Him, He'll do it. Amen. That's right. We've seen that last Sunday. Praise God. God can do that. But not only moral preparation, but number two, there must be mental contemplation. Oh, we're going to dig it out right here a little bit. Not only moral preparation, but also mental contemplation. Look in our chapter, Luke 1, look what the Bible says. And let's look in verse 28. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, watch this, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. You know what this mental contemplation means? She thought about it. How many people today spends time even thinking about their spiritual life? Thinking about the will of God. Thinking about what is preached. Think about what is printed in the Holy Word of God. Amen. Amen. I promise you this, you'll never live beyond your thought life. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Are you listening? You say, preacher, my spiritual life is a wreck. My spiritual life is way down on the level. It's registering close to E. I'm just really low, preacher. Well, look at what you think about. There's a battle over your concentration. There's a battle over your mind and what you think about. Listen, everything about this world. And we could separate and divide it up into sections and subjects, but just a blanket generalized statement, everything in this world targets your mind to think worldly and carnally. Everything. All its music, all its movies, all its magazines, all of it, my friend, is targeting your brain to not think spiritually. What is the big thing in our world today that battles spirituality? It's entertainment. Another word for entertainment is called amusement. Means no or not. Muse means think, not to think. That's what this world is pushing at you through its messages, through its means. My friend is pushing that in your life. Don't think. Just do it. How many people have done things, my friend, that put scars in your life and you didn't really think about it? I promise you, a person that'll put a beer to their mouth hadn't think about it. I didn't think about it. All I thought was, I'm doing what everybody else is doing, and I'll be popular, and people will accept me, and I'll fit in, and all of that. I didn't think about how stupid it is. Hey man, that's right. I don't care. That's the truth. You know that's right. Hey man, it's wicked. It's ungodly. Hey man. Hey man, I'm all for the stand that our liberal country's taking against cigarettes. I'm all for that. But why don't they jump on Bud and Miller and all of that bunch of rot? Hey man, why, there's been a whole lot more, my friend, entered into the flames of hell with the smell of alcohol in their breath than with the smell of tobacco. Amen. I'm against it. I'm against it. I preach against it. I don't practice it. God took that out of my life when I got saved. Amen. I want to tell you what's the truth. Our country never says nothing negative about the millions of gallons, my friend, literally rivers of alcohol that flows through this wicked country of ours. They don't say nothing about it. Why? Because of the revenue that comes off of it. The taxes that comes off of it. Say amen right there. Amen. I never have known somebody, my friend, how many people you found wrote up in the paper that got killed because of an oncoming smoker? The car that hit me head on, it was because they're smoking. And I don't you even think that I'm taking up for that or making light of it. I'm against it, but I'm telling you what's the truth, friend. People don't think about their life. They make choices, my friend, to run with people that's going to ruin them. They make choices to go to places that's going to ruin them. They make choices, my friend, that's going to go against their raising. They're going to make choices that goes against their preacher and his preaching and the Word of God and good sense. They just don't think. Mary cast in her mind what salutation this would be. She began to think about it. And let me tell you this, it wasn't just her. Joseph, her espoused partner, in Matthew chapter 1, when she was with child, I mean, you can just imagine what he thought and how he felt. But here's what he said in verse 20 of chapter 1 of Matthew, but while he thought on these things. Because the Bible said he was minded to put her away. Verse 19. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. While he thought on these things, God worked in him while he was thinking. You'll never get anything from God if you don't pay attention. And a lot of people go to church, they don't pay attention. I'm not talking about having your eyes closed, and I'm talking about even looking at me, following me with your eyes, but your mind is somewhere else. Who do you think's behind that? You think God's behind that? Don't listen, preacher. Think about your car, and think about your job, and think about your buddies, and think about the party, and think about the dance, and think about this, and think about that. Who do you think's behind that? Well, I want to tell you what's the truth, friend. The devil is the author of distraction. He's the author of distraction. In case you didn't hear it, I said he's the author of distraction. He wants to get you distracted from the real deal of a spiritual life, of seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. He wants your mind off of that. He don't want you to think about it. He don't want you to look at your life and see where you are and what direction you're going in. And you get somebody that won't think, you can't talk to them with any effect. Amen. Hard-headed. We've got a hard-headed, hard-hearted generation. They won't listen to parental guidance. They won't listen to pastoral guidance. They won't listen to the Holy Ghost. They won't listen to the Word of God. Are y'all listening? If we're going to experience what we've been exposed to, not only there must be moral preparation. You said, preacher, everybody else is doing it. Don't matter. I'll do it and it won't bother me. Don't you ever think that. If a man sows to the flesh, he shall of the flesh reap corruption. Getting saved, getting right with God, don't cancel that. That's a law set in motion that's irreversible. What you sow, you reap. Hello? Come on now. Moral preparation, mental contemplation. She cast in her mind. That is, that she computed it. It comes from two words. That word cast in her mind comes from two words. The first word means through, and the second word means to think. In other words, cast in her mind means to think it through. Means to think it through, to reckon, or to count, or to calculate, or to compute. Put the figures in and see what the outcome is going to be. So I preach, I'm just going to take my chance. Don't you know that's ignorant? Don't you know that's ignorant? Would you invest in something that's got a bad track record? Would you invest in something? Would you invest in something that you've yet to meet anybody that's won off of it? And nobody's ever won off of sin. But how many people's investing their time, their attention, their life into sin? Are you listening? Cast in her mind. Think it through. Calculate it. Compute it. Put the facts in. And see what the subtotal is going to be. See what the outcome is going to be. To be foolish is to put into the calculator, to put into the computer the facts and the figures of choices that you're making and directions you're going in and so on and so forth. And then when you hit compute or calculate or equal or the end of it and it comes out a zero, I think you ought to say, you know what? I think I need to turn. I think I need to go another direction. I need to do something differently. Are you listening? Oh, yes, we know the book of Philippians is the key of it is joy. The key of it is rejoicing. But listen, what do you think he dealt with in chapter 2? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. All church division is a mental problem. Chapter 4 of Philippians, the only negative thing said about the whole church was that there were two women that were not of the same mind. They didn't think right. They weren't thinking alike. Amen. Mental contemplation. It's a mental battle that we're in. And there's so much. Listen, chapter 4 of Philippians, verse 8, comes right down toward the end of the book. And here's what he said. Whatsoever things are pure. And give a whole list, honest, of a good report. If there be any virtue, and on down through there. And then it said, think on these things. Amen. How you think is how you live. Amen. In case you hadn't noticed, that mass between your ears is called a brain. It is the computer system of your life. Your hands and feet, my friend, does nothing unless comes through your brain as a thought. Think about it. Think about it. Think about it. If you'll think it out, weigh it out, calculate it out, you will know that the serving God is right. Walking the paths of righteousness is the best thing. Mental contemplation. Cast in her mind means to consider, to deliberate, to resolve in one's mind. And I want to tell you, friend, her contemplation, Brother Mark, was selfless. Because what God was asking her to do was going to make her look really bad to the world. Here she was, moral, clean, pure, and all of a sudden she's going to be walking around town expecting. Unmarried, espoused, but not married. Never known a man, never had a physical, sexual relationship with a man. Are you listening to this preacher? But all of a sudden what God was asking her to do was going to cause people to whisper and talk, and you know they did. But it didn't matter to her. All it mattered to her was, God, I want your will done. I want your purpose done. I don't care what people think or say. I want you to smile on my life. I want you to be pleased with me. Mental contemplation. Now watch this right here, I'm going to deal with this. Look what else it says in Luke 1. Are you still there? Say amen. The Bible says in verse 29, and when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying. In other words, Brother Mark, when she first were exposed to the plan and purpose of God for her life, she didn't jump up and say, whoa, glory, I like it. No, at the first, there was some agitation. At the first, there was some trouble in her heart over this matter. When God deals with you, my friend, a lot of times it's going to be something that's going to produce some agitation in you. But here's what here's what a lot of people does though, in when they feel that conviction, when they feel that agitation, when they feel that trouble about the will of God for their life, instead of thinking it through, studying it out, praying over it, and coming into alignment with it, instead of doing that, they run from the trouble. They run from the agitation. Are you listening? That word trouble means to agitate. It means an inward commotion. It means to make restless, to stir, to take away the calmness of mind. When she was told the will of God for her life, it bothered her at first. When she was made known of what God wanted out of her, my friend, and all that was going to be involved in it, she was bothered over it, buddy. You can believe that. When God calls a young man to preach, most of the time, they don't just jump up at that first knowledge of that exposure and run to the altar and say, whoa, God's called me to preach. No, most of the time it stirs an agitation. Most of the time it stirs an inward commotion over it. Amen. But she was troubled. But notice this. I like this. I like the way God deals with people. God, that wasn't no surprise to God that she is going to be troubled and cast in her mind what salutation this should be. And look at verse 30. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary. The angel moved quickly in, my friend, to calm her, to let her know. You know what the directly meaning of fear not, Mary, is? It's going to be okay. I got it under control. You don't have to figure it out. Trust me. You don't have to know all of the ins and outs and the how's to's and the what for's and see your whole life on a video. No, just trust me. It'll be all right. Lord of God, amen. Well, when God asks you to do, or God calls you, or God begins to deal with you about some things in your life, my friend, don't try to figure it out. Certainly don't rebel. Trust Him and submit. You'll never say, be it unto me according to thy word, if you're not thinking about it. You'll never say, be it unto me according to thy word, if there's no moral preparation or no mental contemplation. As long as there's agitation and you're worried and scared and fighting and resisting that, you'll not say, Lord, just be it unto me. No, it's when you trust Him. Amen. Can I move on to a third one? Number three, I want you to notice with me, not only a moral preparation and mental contemplation, but there in verse 36 is a powerful illustration. Boy, I like this. Look at verse 36. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived in her old age. This is the sixth month with her who is called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. You know what God did with Mary? God put her focus on somebody else that God was working in, that God was working on, that God was working through, that others had yielded to the plan of God. Others had, my friend, submitted to the plan of God. And He looked at them and said, you know what? If God can do that for Elizabeth, God can do this for me. Because nothing is impossible with God. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. And I want to say to parents here today, I want to say to myself, the preacher, I want to say to us adults here today, are we furnishing such an example so that the Holy Spirit could say to these young men and young ladies, look at her, look at him, look at them. See what God's doing? Look at this word right here. Look at this word right here. Look at verse 36. Look at that second word. What is it? Say it out loud. Behold. You know what that word behold means? Look at it. Watch. See. You know what the angel was saying? Look at Elizabeth. Consider Elizabeth. Watch Elizabeth. Look what God's doing in her life. Hey, I want to ask us adults, does our young people see God doing anything in our life that would encourage them to step up and say, be it unto me according to thy word? Or are we discouraging them? Are they looking at us and think, you know what, I can't serve God? They're not. I can't have victory. Look at them. They're defeated all the time. I can't be faithful to church. Look at them. They come very seldom. Amen. Are you listening? Come on now. Amen. I'm talking about a parable illustration. It wasn't out of context. Why did he use Elizabeth? Why did he bring this into the story? Because he wanted to use her example, her illustration, that demonstration to encourage Mary to trust God to do the supernatural in her. Man, that's good. That is so good. Watch this right here. Elizabeth, you see God taking the natural and producing the supernatural. Are you listening? Took the natural, man and woman, and the natural, and produced something that was not natural. But with Mary, God took the supernatural and produced a natural. The birth was not supernatural. The birth of Christ was not supernatural. It was a natural birth after being carried 9 months. There was a delivery of the baby. You said, preacher, what was it? It was a supernatural conception. Amen. Without the use of a man, without the use of a human, my friend, God, the Holy Ghost, conceived in her, my friend, divine seed. Amen. Boy, I'm telling you, this is big in my heart. Every way you look, and I'm just being honest with you, every way you look in churches today, there's discouraging things. God's really been good to this church, and I'm telling you, we better thank God for it. Are you listening? Many times, friend, when I go out and preach elsewhere, other places, friend, I want to come home and kiss the pews at RBT. Are you listening? Sometimes I just come over here and walk through and rub the ends of the pews and say, thank God for RBT and what God's doing here. We better not take it for granted. We better not take it for granted. But I tell you what, I believe God wants this church to be. God wants this church to be that Elizabeth illustration that others can look at and God can say, see, God's doing it at RBT. Every church is not dead. Every church is not defeated. Every church is not liberal. Every church is not going away from the King James Bible. Every church, my friend, has not got a liberal for sale preacher, hireling for a preacher. No. Every church is not like that. See Elizabeth down there in Rogersville, RBT, see that? See what God's doing in there in her life? Look what God's doing in them. Can God use our church in that way? Church, come on now. Can God use our church in that fashion? The burden has always been behind the Jubilee that God would use this church to touch other churches. That's been the burden from the get-go and still is today. That other churches can come in represented by 1 or 5 or 10 or whatever, can come in this church and be exposed to true spirituality and the power of God. Are you listening? And my friend, it would stir their heart to go back and say, you know what? For with God, nothing shall be impossible. If God can do it for Elizabeth, God can do it for us. If God can do it for RBT, God can do it up here. But if God's not doing nothing here, how could God use us as to be an illustration and an example? And God will do here as we allow Him to do, as we desire Him to do, as we seek Him to do. Now, I preach it don't matter how we live. I know you don't believe that. Surely you don't believe that. Oh, preach it don't matter. Oh, yes, it matters. You say, well, preacher, I'm not right with God, and our church is still going on. I'm not right with God. The Lord still's meeting with us. Had two saved last Sunday. One, you know, look, preacher, hey, don't ever think that. Don't ever think like that. I can take you to the Old Testament and show you where God was good to the children of Israel through the wilderness and them complaining every breath and murmuring, my friend, and wishing they was back in Egypt. Brother Willis said it best I've ever heard. He said, don't ever mistake God's blessings for His approval. God's been good to our church. It may not be because of where we are and who we are, but I'll tell you, it might be blessing us so that we'll desire to go further and to go on with God. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. That's right. Oh, I'm looking for God to raise up some young ladies and young men here that'll have some old-fashioned conviction. My friend, that'll be deep-seated and deep-settled in their heart. And it'll never be up for compromise. It'll never be up for discussion. Never, never, never. Amen. If you have to walk alone, stay with God and believe God and do right. Amen. The whole town talks about you like a dog. Walk with God and stay with God, because in the end, you'll be glad you did. In fact, you'll be glad you did before the end. Amen. God help us. God help us. Amen. Oh, I want to see it. I know I'm not much. I know that. But I want you to know, friend, I've got a desire for God to duplicate the pulpit in the pews. Oh, I'm telling you, listen, I want to see God take some of the convictions and standards He's worked in my heart over the years, my friend, that I believe is biblical standards and biblical convictions. My friend, I want to see them in your life. I do. Amen. The Bible talked about that leader and said, whose faith followed. Amen. God help us. I'm not talking about robots. I'm not talking about, you know, going against no will, just being told what to do. No, we're talking about heart service. We're talking about people, my friend, devoting their lives to God. Powerful illustration. Well, I want to be a powerful illustration. You don't know what it does to me for these young people in this church. And very seldom I ever leave a service and I don't have one, two, or a handful of little letters wrote. I mean, a handful of little letters. I got some of them right here. I got some of them laying right here, just little letters. Just little letters. I went out of here last Sunday, I believe it was, or right recently, and there was one, you couldn't even hardly read it. Said, thank you. Said, I love you, Pat, preacher. God worked on me today. Amen. Thank you for being my preacher. Thank you for preaching to me the Word of God. Are you listening? Listen to this right here. Listen to this right here. Thank you so much for talking to and praying with me today. You're the only one that I've told about the situation spiritually. Thank you for preaching the truth to me. I love you so much. Thank you for obeying God. I am saved. I love the Lord. Thank you. You don't think that don't fire me up? Are you listening? Sometimes some adults might get crossways with me and look at me like a dying cat in a hailstorm. And I want to tell you, some of these little ones coming up, this next generation coming up, they'll give me notes like that or tell me, preacher, thank you for preaching to me the truth. Thank you for preaching to me the Word of God. Thank you for praying for me. I'll tell you, that fires me up. Amen. That fires me up, because I want this next generation to step up to the plate. Anybody can be liberal. Anybody can be loose. Anybody can. That's right. People don't have much standards anymore. People don't have much convictions anymore. They just don't. I had a call this week for 30 minutes from a senior preacher for 30 minutes talking to me about a conviction in my life about dress, trying to change my mind. Friend, I'm going to tell you, friend, you might as well try to lasso the sun and pull it down. Because it is in my heart. It is conviction in my heart. It is in the Bible. I believe it's sprinkled from Genesis throughout the Word of God. So I never seen it. Do you want to see it? That might be the reason. Got your eyes closed? Amen. Well, powerful illustration. I got a call the other night. Wasn't even thinking about this just now. I got a call the other night from North Carolina. A little girl named Hannah. At least 5, 6 years old. And you know what she calls me? Her hero. She says, I'm her favorite preacher in the world. Little girl like this. Her daddy likes me too because he makes me Mountain Dew cake. Oh, it's good. Pound cake. But he called me the other night. He said, Preacher, Hannah's wanting to tell you something. I said, Really? She got on the phone and said, Preacher, Rackley? I said, Yes, Hannah, what is it? She said, I just got saved. He said, the daddy told me, said, Preacher, you're the first one she wanted to call. Oh, yes, friend. You think I'm going to bail out and cough and give it up and throw in the towel just because some mossy back don't want to go with God? No, friend. I'm focusing on the next generation. I'm going to preach to them, amen, the truth. I'm going to preach to them the truth in the right spirit. Are you listening? And they may not all line up. And very few seem to be. But I want to tell you, it's worth it all to see one. It's worth it all to see one. Well, amen, I want to be a powerful illustration that God could say, behold. Behold, look what I've done in them. Look what God is doing. Well, if you're not careful, you'll think God's not doing nothing, but He is. He's active. He don't have a neutral gear. Amen. Oh, glory to God. I believe God wants us to just wind her up with this one little, that one truth. A powerful illustration. Are you an example? Are you an example for others? Boy, when I got saved this month, 30 years ago, when I got saved, I could look at Brother Randy Bain, who was preaching when I got saved. I could look at him and God could say to me, behold, look what I'm doing in them. Look what I'm doing for them. And I even got to go with him my first year in the ministry, or my second year in the ministry, got to go with him in his tent meetings. And boy, I watched God use him. And I thought, the Holy Spirit said, behold, look, see. Does your children see God doing anything in your life? Does your neighbor see God doing anything in your life? Miss Wanda is my neighbor. Tremendous. I wouldn't trade her for a pack of beagle dogs, I'm telling you. She is top notch. I couldn't ask. My wife's back there. She couldn't ask for a better neighbor. Nowhere, no time. In fact, that's probably the only reason I've not moved. I hate a subdivision. It's on tape. Anointed of the Holy Spirit. But Miss Wanda comes to church here. She sees me out in the yard. She sees my family and still comes to church here. Miss Wanda, I'm going to ask you right in front of everybody. Have you ever seen anything out of me that was unchristlike? That would discourage you to even think, I'm not going to church over there? That's not putting me up on a pedestal. That's just letting you know that a long time ago, Brother Bill, I made up my mind I want to go with God, amen. And it'll make a difference in somebody. Or if somebody could just look and say, you know what? God's doing something. Oh, it means something to me. I'm telling you, Brother Craddock, it means something to me when the membership can go to somebody out on the street and say, hey, won't you come and visit us at RBT? We want you to hear our pastor preach. Won't you come? Hey, you know what that is? That's all boiled down saying, behold, God is doing something. God is doing something, and I want Him to be doing something. And I want to tell you this, friend. I'm going to stop right here if I can. I'm not just satisfied with looking around and seeing the Elizabeths that God's doing something in and on. I want to step up and say, be it unto me according to thy word. Brother Brooks, I'm glad God's worked in your generation. I'm telling you, some of the greatest preachers that's ever walked in shoe leather, my friend, is in Brother Brooks' generation, and many of them's already gone. The Dr. Seitlers are gone. The John R. Rice's gone. The B.R. Lakens are gone. And many more we could add to that. That list, they're gone. Are you listening? They've walked through this path. They've left their mark. They've left an example behind where hundreds could look at and say, behold, look what God's doing in their life. But as I heard them preach and as I was around them growing up, after I got saved, I want to tell you what, something in me saying, you know what? I want it. I want it. Be it unto me according to thy word. I remember hearing preachers like Brother Sammy Allen preach on the Spirit-filled life and go to the altar and say, God, I don't understand all that was preached, but I want it. I want it. A powerful illustration. Before exposure will become experience, more than likely, you're going to have to look around and see somebody that God's working in. More than likely, you'll look around. God will bring your attention to somebody that He's already worked in and worked on and worked through. Amen. To encourage you to get in the altar and do the same. I want you to be glad that you got a preacher that is not a compromiser. I want you to be glad of that. But I don't want you to be satisfied with that. I want you to step up and say, I want it. I want to be an example to my generation. I want to be an example to my school class. I want to be an example to my peers. I want to be an example to my buddies. Hey, let me ask you something, young people. Are you influencing your buddies, or are they influencing you? You pulling them up, or they pulling you down? That's right. Amen. Don't ever make excuse for loose living in nobody. I don't care. It doesn't matter what kind of songs they sing. If they're not living right, and I mean they go contrary to the Bible, sanctification and separation, don't talk favorably about them. Don't put your approval on them. Don't draw attention to that crowd. Don't draw attention. You say, but preacher, they're Christians. I don't care. If they're not living an example, they're not living an illustration, they're not an example that the Holy Ghost could say to you and your children and your family, behold, look at that, look at that, look what God's doing in them, do it in you. Don't ever talk favorably about somebody that's living loose. Don't ever. Don't ever. Are you listening? And I mean, you can turn on the television and you can go to some of these so-called religious channels and you can see they're a dime a dozen, my friend. They don't have no convictions. They don't have no standards. One of them on there sings with the Gaithers, old mop head, plumb down on his back. I remember him saying one time to Paul Crouch on TV, and I was watching it. He said, I'm thinking about getting my hair cut. And it's been several years ago. He said, I'm thinking about getting my hair cut. The whole congregation started screaming, no! And then that man, Paul Crouch, said to him, don't cut your hair. Jesus had long hair. I said, I'd hate to be that ignorant. I'd hate to be that ignorant. But he can sing. I don't care if he can sing like an angel. I don't care if he's sprouting wings. If he's violating Bible principles, I don't care. I'm not listening to him. I'm not going to buy their CDs. I'm not going to buy their tapes. I'm not going to tell people that I'm going to go hear them in concert. I'm not going. I'm not funding that crowd. Preacher, you nailed it pretty tight. I plan on it. I plan on it. It's the only thing that's going to work. It's the only thing that's going to do the job. There's got to be moral preparation. There's got to be mental contemplation. And then thirdly, a powerful illustration. And we're going to pick it up. If the Lord leads us tonight, we're going to pick right up and go number four and go right on through. All right? Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we come in Jesus' name. Dear Lord, in this invitation, our Father, I've preached my heart. I've preached your heart. Lord, this message, this thought, Lord, has been a burden on my heart for several weeks now. And Lord, we've been trying to preach it. And Lord, it's still on my heart. And Lord, I'd ask God that you'd help us to know here at the church that you're wanting to speak to us, that you're wanting to say something to us. You're wanting to deal with us. God, help us. Oh, God, help us. Lord, I'm afraid there's some young people in the church and some adults as well that's not thinking right. Not thinking right about some choices and directions in their life. They're not thinking clear. They're not thinking scripturally. They're not thinking spiritually. God, I pray they get in this altar and ask God to help them with their thought life. Help them with their mind. Help them, Lord. Because if they think worldly, they'll live worldly. They'll talk worldly, act worldly, look worldly if they think it. God, I pray you help young people today to come and surrender their minds to the Lord. Lord, I pray that some adults will do likewise. Surrender their mind to the Lord. Lord, to be an example, dear God. Lord, help these young people to fill the altars this morning and purpose in their heart this morning that they're going to refrain from defilement and sin and wickedness and ungodliness and immorality. Those things that would put scars and misery and regret and excess baggage in their life that would hinder them to serve God in certain capacities. Lord, I pray that we all, myself, afresh and anew, would devote and dedicate our lives to you. Afresh and anew this new year, that we would desire to be used, that we'd desire to be used, that the Holy Spirit could use to encourage people to serve God and to commit to the Lord. Lord, I don't want to discourage people from that. I want to encourage them in my life and how I live, and practically and privately and publicly. I want to be an example, Lord, that the Holy Ghost could take and say to people, behold, see what I'm doing in him, doing through him, doing for him, doing around him. God, I want you to do more. God, I want you to do more this year than ever before. Lord, I want to be used mightily this year for the glory of God. Lord, I want RBT to be used mightily for the glory of God. Lord, I pray, oh God, oh God.
God bless you. Thank you for visiting Rogersville Baptist Temple's website and for listening to this message preached at Rogersville Baptist Temple.